Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Praise be to Allah, who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa sahbihi and upon his companions ajma'in, all of them. ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما على عسر يسرا إنما على عسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانتب وَإِلَّا رَبِّكَ فَرُّغَدْ. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this is, have we not expanded for you your breast and removed from you the burden, the one which did gall your back, and raised high the esteem in which you are held? So verily, with difficulty is relief. Verily, with difficulty is relief. Therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, still labor hard. And to your Lord, turn all of your attention. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. I want to read something from a paper written by Dr. Israr Ahmed entitled Iqbal. Iqbal is one of the famous scholars of al-Islam. I would put him late 19th, early 20th century. A quote from the paper of Israr Ahmed. He said, according to Iqbal, the first stage in the process of an Islamic revolution is purely educational. To inculcate the teachings and the message of the Holy Quran in the minds of the audience so that a profound metamorphosis means change, so that a profound change, I'm going to say, occurs in the way people think and feel, in their goals and objectives, and in their values, in their priorities. Every one of those pairs is a massive subject, the way people think and feel, people's goals and objectives, their values and priorities, saying this is what the revolution of al-Islam is intended to bring about, the proper change in all of those areas. But continuing the quote, it says, it is this internal and psychological revolution in the personalities of individual human beings that is absolutely essential, that is the absolutely essential prerequisite for any meaningful and stable change in the political, socio-economic system. So it says, you're not going to have a revolution of any type without meaningful and stable change politically, socially, economically. And you're not going to have that unless you meet the absolutely essential prerequisite of a psychological revolution in the personalities of the individual human being. Now, that says a lot. The Quran puts it in one sentence. ذلك بأن الله لم يقم مغيرا بما أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. That is because Allah will never change the condition. Those conditions include the political condition, the social condition, the economic condition. Allah will never change the condition of any people until they change it themselves with what is in their own soul. May be unfulfilled, what is in their own self. So that's where the revolution has to happen first. And I'm going to go back to the earlier part of that thing to reiterate for you. What has to change? The way people think and feel, the goals and objectives that people have, the values and priorities that they have set for themselves in their lives. Because if the ones that they have currently are not the ones that lead to a stable, healthy, successful life, well, then that needs to change. That's the revolution. That's the revolution. Okay, finishing this quote. He said, this transformation of the individuals will then cause them to unite as a force, which will become the starting point for a global revolution. It must be noted that in the revolutionary struggle of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, the only instrument that was employed for exhortation, meaning calling the people, admonition, meaning warning the people, purification of the soul, that is purifying the people, and reformation, being reformed, was nothing but the Holy Quran. End of quote. I want us to ask ourselves, how long have you had a Quran? Ask yourself, how long have you had a Quran? And if there was no English in it, how much of it could you read? What changed the Arabs was the Quranic revelation. And another time we can talk about the history of the Quranic Arabic language itself, but real short punch that I want to give you on this. Allah created the Arabic language for the purpose of carrying what he means and meant to tell humanity. It's not the language that we read in the Quran. The language that we read in the Quran is not the language that they speak in the marketplace in any of these countries that you go to. MashaAllah, you know, I have to give this example. As a sister, she's an Arab sister from some Middle Eastern country, whatever. So she's in the gas station. She's in the cash register. You know, you go step up space. She all kimad and hijabed, and you know, I always feel good when I see it. But I'm gonna tell you, I stopped. This is personal. I used to give assalamu alaikum to my immigrant sisters in the marketplace. And I stopped that. Even before this incident, but it was because it's like, man, I mean, you react like I'm some kind of threat, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm done with that, right? But this sister, when I would come to the gas, it's the local gas, it's the neighborhood gas station. So I sound like maybe once or twice when I got it, you know, alaykum as-salam, right? And then one day I said, as-salamu alaykum. And she might have said something like masalam or something, you know. And I had to let her know. I said, wait, you know, the Quran says that when you're given a greeting, you either return a greeting that's of equal spirit or better. That's what I said. And she said, but you don't have to be all religious about it. Well, what the hell is this scarf you got on? Well, tell me what that costume, what is that? Yeah, so I'm moving on. I'm moving past that. What I'm saying is that when you go to Arab countries, when we were in one of the embassies of the Imam, embassy group that traveled together on purpose, going to Saudi Arabia. That's where we were, Saudi Arabia. We're in the mall, you know, and one of these malls, so we've got an escalator, going up the escalator. And I get to the top of the escalator, and there's a big sign that come, let us learn Arabic. This is in Saudi Arabia, in a mall, and it's saying, let us come and learn Arabic. Well, what y'all speaking if that's not what was being spoke? It's called Almiya. Almiya. Almiya is really is rooted in Ummi, and when we talk about the prophet as the Ummi prophet, a not so positive translation of it. Rasul minhum ya'lu alayhim ayati I said Allah ba'athahu fil ummiyin. Allah commissioned him from among the ummiyin, right? So ummiyin, and so almiya is sort of like illiterate. You might remember when I traveled to Egypt. This is 2005. Believe it, I didn't know how much of a babe in the woods I was, even at that time. I get to the airport, I just assume everybody could speak English. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I get there, and so I should, you know, be able to get a taxi, you know. It's like, I get there, it wasn't a body in the airport that could speak English in a way to talk with me for me to get as far. And I had little snippets, little bits of it. So one of the taxi drivers you know how they be looking for people, you know. They call them gypsy cabs here, but it's just business there. Right? So he came. He came. Yeah, let me help you. You know. And so I can, you know, I thought, look, I need to call the people because it was actually supposed to be the people at the school. They were supposed to be there to pick me up. So I was like, so I don't need nobody picking me up. So I make the call, and the best I could do is get the address to give to him, right? And so now I'm walking with this guy to his car, right? And so then all the hustlers, they're trying to get to me, you know, so as to like take me off as a partner, as a customer. And this is what the guy said. This is the point. Ajami. We're walking through the airport. Like, I knew a little bit, kind of sort of like what he was saying. But what the nice thing that he was saying is that he don't speak no English. I mean, he doesn't speak Arabic. Ajami, so don't even approach him, right? Because there's people who are as dark and darker than me who are Saudis, right? So it's like they thought they had a chance. No, Ajami. When you say Ajami, another meaning of Ajami is like an animal. It's because if you can't speak, you're like a dumb brute. So I'm sure that's not what he meant, right? He's just telling the rest of the folks, Ajami. So y'all don't even need to try nothing because you can't talk to him, he can't talk to you, he with me. And the rest is history. So Umi is tied to this illiteracy. Ajami is tied to the inability to speak human language. The language that's spoken in the marketplace, you've probably heard this phrase, lingua franca. The language that's spoken in the marketplace is not the language of the Quran. You can go to Sudan, you can go to Egypt, you can go to Morocco, you can go to wherever you call them Arab countries. The street language is not Quran. And that's a part of the death of the Islamic world. Part of the death of the Islamic world is that there was a time when Quranic Arabic language was the language of the people. Yes, the language on the street at the time of the growth and the vibrancy of al-Islam, the street language was Quranic language. Now, in the sciences of linguistics, Quranic Arabic is called a dead language. And that's what it means for it to be a dead language. What was meant for it to be a dead language, something is dead language when it's not the lingua franca, when it's not the language of the marketplace. If it's not the language of the marketplace, it's dead. So, okay, so like Greek, the Greek of the Bible, say, for example, or Aramaic, or Latin in the biblical sense. Dead languages. All right. This, brother and sister, is where our problem is. There's no revolution in our thinking and our feeling and our goals and our objectives and our values and our priorities because it's not the language of the Quran that gives us all these. We have thoughts and feelings that are not Quranic. We have goals and objectives that are not Quranic. Right? We have values that are not Quranic. The resurrection and the revolution that takes place in the individual takes place upon their incorporating in their life, thinking, feeling, values, objectives, etc. Now you're a different person. If you want to, as we do, if we want to be what Allah created us as, we have to learn how to read and think and feel and aspire in accordance with the Quran. That's very simple. It's very simple to say. I'm saying that is the formula. It's like, oh, man, my car won't go. It's like, okay, let me check and see. Get in the car and look. Man, you ain't got no gas, man. How you think you're going to go somewhere? There ain't no gas in the tank. You need to put gas in the tank. Everything else works, but without gas, it ain't going nowhere. We should understand that in the same way when it comes to Quran in our minds. Quran, as Allah revealed it. Not Yusuf Ali. I don't want you to roll up like, stop. You got to learn it. We got stuff to do. And you can't do what Allah, do you know what Allah, we're invited to do? We are invited to change the whole world. You can't do that without leverage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, if there was a Quran that would move mountains, this is the one. What is the mountain? A government. If there are any words or ideas or concepts or values that will change a world, it's this book, the Quran. And so if we are in, as we accept when we say, shadu an la ilaha illallah, shadu an Muhammadur Rasulullah, I'm in the army of God. Okay, well, I'm in the army of God. What's my weapon? Weapon is the Quran. But if you don't know how to use the weapon, then the battle and the war is already lost. Come on, take this as encouragement. Don't feel beat up. But procrastination, as we say again, if nothing changes, nothing changes. It's like I'm saying you have to do the least of things that you can do that shows your commitment to the process, right? All right. Okay, I've said that. We're still talking about the woman because this is what I'm saying. If and when you embrace what we are saying about the woman, and this is for all of us, the women and the men. Sometimes you have to think, if we're talking about the woman, so therefore we're talking to the men. No, we're talking to all of us. We're talking to men and women. We both need to understand ourselves individually, and we need to understand ourselves as a unit together, right? Because that's really what makes it work. So relative to this idea about reading, right? Yes, we have to learn how to read the Quran, right? After we learn how to read the letters of the Quran, we have to understand how to apply what it is that we read. I have a simple formula here, and I'll do this. So first we learn how to read, and that means literally and technically. You just got to do it, right? And not only is it the letters of the Quran we have to learn how to read, because the words of the Quran, they are called ayah. The verses are called ayah. But then we also have to learn how to read the creation itself. The creation is also called ayah. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Why does God call the phenomena in creation ayah and call the verses in the Quran ayah? So if both of them are ayah, both of them are something to be read. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to read Iqra, bismirabbika alladhi khalaq, he's not just telling us to read the Quran, A, because the Quran didn't even exist as a book at that time, and it was speaking to the prophet, the Ummi, and his reply when he was first commanded, ma ana biqari'in, I'm not among those who can read. All right? And that's prophecy too. But the other side of it is, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your guardian evolver who created, right? And then as you continue to read the Quran, you get a repeating formula, inna fi dhalika layatun liqawmin yatafakkarun. many places, God says, verily in this, meaning what? The way that the river flows, the way that the clouds move, the way that animals act. Verily in this are signs. Inna fi dhalika layatu, there are signs. Likawmi yatafakiru, for a people who grasp the concept. See, if you pick up a translation of the Quran, you will not necessarily see it says those who grasp the concept, for fikr, yatafakirun. You're going to get something else. Yusuf Ali gives us like Shakespearean type language, thee, thou, wherefore, blah, blah, blah. You're not an Elizabethan English person. You know? So the point is that boundaries get set on the translations that limit your mind to only see what you've been given as a definition. So that means that you're putting your mind in their mind, or they're putting your mind in their mind, and so you can't think outside of the box that they have constructed for you, because you depend on them to tell you what the word means. But if you remember, as we conclude this point, you should remember that the Quran, the Quranic Arabic, Lughat al-Fusa, Lughat al-Arabiya Fusa, classical, you have to say, Quranic Arabic was a language, is a language explicitly formed and nurtured by, and protected by Allah to be the vessel for his concepts, his ideas, I dare say thoughts. In a word, do you think that an English word going to go into God's word and take out everything that God put in his word, and you're going to look at the English word, yeah, we're saying everything that that word is. I won't say hell no, but I'll just say no. You heard the terminology lost in translation? I got a quart of milk right here. I got a 16-ounce glass. I start pouring this full quart of milk into this 16-ounce glass. Is it all going in there? I can keep trying to put it in there, but what's going to happen? Just going to be losing the court, lost in translation. And that's the truth for every translation that we read. Every translation that we read leaves something that God revealed behind. So why not go to the source? رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. الله أكبر. There's a statement Imam, Bismillah, statement Imam made many, many, many years ago. People feeling like, you know, they're like a hypocrite because everything that they're believing in and that they're saying they're not fully on. Meaning, I got a lot of growing to do. So it kind of become more self-effacing and more put yourself down because, oh, man, because I am. And the Imam said, look, you don't have to be well in order to be on the side of doctors and medicine. It's like, yeah, you need work to do, but cheer for the doctor and take your medicine, right? This is what we have to do. So I'm going to give a quick example. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I really want you to just be encouraged to, hey, man, let me use this example. You know, I need a little work up front here, yeah. Probably from behind, too. But, Eve, check me out over here, see what happens. He's got a different thing. I'm committed. If, whatever, I don't care what it looks like. I'm committed, right? So I was sitting down the other day in my normal position, in my comfortable chair, in my bedroom, at my computer, thinking after maybe even some of this that we're talking about right now. Like, hey, that's important, right? So you got to watch out for how you deceive yourself. Don't take what I said lightly, because sometimes we be lying to ourselves. And we be buying the lying to ourselves. Then, like I said, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I'm sitting there, and I know I hadn't done the, quote-unquote, the exercise or the movement, et cetera, that I should have done in too many days, let's just put it like that. So sometimes I would say in those days past, you know, nastaghfirullah, you know, alhamdulillah, da-da-da-da, you know, kind of slight indictment of myself a little bit. But the other day, you know, I said, because I have a reclining bike in my office, in the house, right? There was this urge to keep doing what I'm doing, and then I reminded myself, hey, look, man, nothing changed. If you make an excuse, you know you're going to wind up just sitting here the same way that you were sitting there before, right? I just snatched myself up. I get on the bike. Listen to this. I had my pajamas on. I had my house shoes on. Undershirt. It's like, no. See, all that getting ready, getting dressed and all that, that's a part of the game that you run on yourself. I'm talking to Fahim. So, no, man, get up. Get out, got on that bike. I said, look, you don't have to do the whole run, man. All you got to do, just a minute, because you need that muscle memory to kind of, you know, so your subconscious can be told that, yeah, we did this. You know, all that, I'm psyching myself, right? It's the truth. So I got on, you know, I said, all you got to do is just do something so it'll be different than doing nothing. So I wound up, I got my half hour in. I said, I'm good. I didn't get my sweat, but I got my half hour in. I pat myself on the chest when I finished. Good job, Fahim. Good job. You know what I'm saying? Because your subconscious mind is all a part of the game, man. It's like, yeah, I like me. Yeah. You're nice, man. So the point is, I'm saying this about this Arabic that I'm talking about. It don't matter. The next opportunity you have to study more than you have studied, I don't care. Find a piece of paper, put it in your pocket. When you waiting in the doctor's office, or you waiting on the bus, or you waiting for dinner or whatever, just read something. That's it. Just read something. You're at least getting it started. You got to ask yourself, well, how much have I done so far? See, so that would mean that whatever you do is going to be more than nothing if that's what you've been doing, right? I'm trying to encourage you. Your life is the Quran. Your life. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. The gracious taught the Quran, created al-insan, that's the inside man, which is male and female. Khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan, and gave them the scientific method for speech. Taught him how to express. And this bayan, when you talk about it, as we conclude, when you talk about it means to get to the bottom of something. El bayan, when you really understand it, el bayan, get to the bottom. It's having a kind of mind that researches things till you get to the most irreducible fundamental reality of it, which is the haq, the reality, the truth. One grammar example. just one grammar example. You just we got to learn both of them. And it takes years anyway, so just get started if you haven't already. And if you have already, don't stop. All right? Alam in the first verse. Alam nashra laka sadarak. Alam nashra laka sadarak. Alam, it's a particle. Because this adds to the key to the verse, the chapter. Alam, question. Have lam not nashra? We expanded leka for you, tadarak, your breast, your heart, etc. Only thing I don't want to mention, so we can increase our appreciation for the power of the Quran. And just one letter, but it's harf istifham. It's an interrogative particle. Lam, lam negative. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. You all know about this, right? Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Lam negative. Alam then nashra. Have not we expanded? Alam. So is that, have we not expanded for you your breath? Language wise, that's a rhetorical question. Allah is asking that question. And he already knows the answer. The rhetorical question asking that way with that particle is asking a question to which the questioner already knows that the answer is affirmative, is yes. So God should ask, hey, watch this. Are you not entertained? Same grammar, same grammatical form. A negative being used for a positive. Are you not entertained? Alam nashra, have we not expanded your breath? There's a positive coming out of a negative. The negative is the lam. Alam nashra laka sadara. Okay, and what's the big deal about that? Part of the big deal about that is God is telling you what the whole chapter is about with just that grammatical, technical semantics, let's say. Because I'm using a negative to teach you a positive. And that whole verse is about, whole chapter is about knowing how to get the positive out of the negative. Do you think your life would be better if you knew better how to get the positive out of the negative? Because there's no negative to go around, ain't it? But what if there's positive in all the negative? إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٌ. Oh, but if you don't know how to get the positive out of the negative, it's all negative. And I know sisters, I'm going to leave a little gap right here. Sisters, there's a part of you that's inclined to the negative. That's your nature. It ain't your fault. It's not a fault at all. It's a nature that Allah gave you. We need you to be negative sometime. Because sometime we need to be corrected, checked, guided, managed. And so when the woman critiques us, if we as men understand that, that is, understand I'm using this word in an absolute positive, neutral kind of way. Allah has given us a creature which when she's on our team, when she critiques us, it's for our benefit. It's not like all you ever do is hip-hop. Now, I'm not talking to the ones that are like that, but I don't think that's the general rule. We might experience it like that and interpret it like that, men. But no, if we learn how to take that breath in that moment and say, well, let me look at what she's saying. Let me see if there's any merit to what she's saying. Let me just not assume that she's just being negative. Let me assume that she might see something that I don't see. Let's assume that. And what's that assumption resting upon? It's resting upon Allah created her, and Allah gave her that nature. and we are made of like nature, and she's to be my helpmeet. And so I have to be able to see and first assume, well, this is for my benefit, because Allah created her for my benefit. She's on my team. Okay, so everything negative that she says is not just all negative. It's potential for some kind of improvement, possibly. But I have to be open to that, right? So all that's coming from the idea that God uses a negative to bring out positive. And that is called neurosis. There's a neurotic proclivity in the female by nature. And it's not a bad thing. It's a thing that God has done. And if we learn how to interact with it with respect for it as a factor of human nature and feminine nature in particular, inshallah, we'll be well. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم لا يكفي يصلون إلى النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your blessings, we thank you for your graces, we thank you for your guidance. Oh Allah, bless us to not be self-deluded. Oh Allah, bless us to live up to the aspirations that you have put into our nature. Oh Allah, bless us to become strong as aids and agents of the building of Ummah as you intend in this world. Oh Allah, give us eyes to see and give us the heart to feel and give us the body that is enduring and bless us to be able to experience what you have promised so that our faith can be increased. Bless us to do what you have ordered for us to do so that we might understand that your word is true and that you are never just any of your creatures and you're never absent at any time or place. We beg this if you only for none can grant us hold us but you. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Make our roads straight and even. Leave no space between the same time divided. If our roads aren't straight, our hearts can agree. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين وزيتون وتور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين لا تقبل الله there's a hadith I want to try to grab real quick. I mean, you, the PDA is open, as you know, Shukran. Actually, I sent this to me. Let me see if I copied it over. So we ventured into the first of three sacred months, right? Rajab. We mentioned Rajab was coming in Shaban, and then after that is Ramadan. It was one that was particularly striking for me. This is the month of Rajab that we're in, inshallah. So, Hadith, he said, on the month of Rajab, there's a day and night that whoever fasts its day and stand in prayer during its night, it will be as though he fasted a time of 100 years and stood in prayer during the night for 100 years. And it is remaining in its remaining last 3 days from Rajab. It was in this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad. Speaking of Rajab again, when a man fasts a day in it and then renews his fasting by means of fearful awareness of Allah having taqwa, the door speaks out as well as the day speaks out on his behalf saying, O Lord, forgive him. When he does not complete his fasting with fearful awareness of Allah, they do not seek forgiveness for him. And it is said of him, you have deceived your own soul. So that is, you have fast, in your fasting, there must also be taqwa. It's not just a matter of your abstention, right? And thank you for your patience. Let me see this. Yes, here it goes. Here it goes. The month of Rajab is a tremendous month. Whoever fasts a single day during it, as it is as though he fasted a year. So that is to fast one day in this month is as though you fasted for a year. And whoever fasts 7 days during it, the 8 gates of paradise will open for him. And whoever fasts 10 days from it, then asks Allah for his needs, Allah will give him what he asks. And whoever fasts to the end of the month, Allah will forgive all his sins which have passed and change his evils into good deeds. That's for fasting in the month of Rajab. So it's like Allah is always giving us these coupons, man. It's like we need to be cashing them in, man, because it's like they're going to have their real force and power here, yeah, but in the life that comes hereafter when nothing else makes a difference, we need to, you talk about stacking, this kind of stuff we need to be stacking, inshallah. Thank you for your patience, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, we want to offer our congratulations to Ira and Georgetta Beya on their wedding anniversary, January 16th, and also a birthday. One more time. January 16th. Today's 19th, so that was this week. Yes. So Noah May Nuruddin Green, alhamdulillah, birthday. Muslim Movement, we're going to be at Cesar Chavez Park in Berkeley, inshallah, tomorrow, yes. Rain or shine, Allahu Akbar. Also, our condolences to the family of Najiba, Jaja. And also, we want to acknowledge something else. Ethel Hamid had hip surgery and is doing well, right? Alhamdulillah. And also, Brother Kamal has been, Kamal Rashid out of Palo Alto, some of you know. He's been moved to a convalescent hospital, but calls are welcome. So if you have contact for Kamal, do that. Who else am I missing? I think that I believe that's it. Oh, that was on the paper. Okay, Vida Ambos, oldest daughter in D.C. suffered a seizure and had emergency brain surgery. So you keep Vida and her daughter, of course, in her prayers. Gwen Rashid, which is Kamal Rashid's wife, her sister is hospitalized in L.A. And also Irma Salam, Imam Michael Salam, his wife is having surgery soon. So we keep them and us in our dua, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. Okay, great. Good day. Appreciate you. See you tomorrow, inshallah. I'm good. Huh? Your husband. Your father gave me. Is it raining or not? Not yet. No, it's not good enough. I mean, it's worth a try, but no. Again, when big trouble is a piece of your heart, give it up. So if you're comfortable, then you can do it for yourself. I'm just like, hey, B, it's gone. Yeah, no, I don't think it's gone far enough. That I haven't reached that threshold. Okay. Salahuddin, yeah. Sounds familiar. Alright, oh, I got you, Diane. Thank you. We got to hang up here.